Today's January 10th, 2024. Current Bitcoin price is $46,579.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
Well, it finally happened.
What's that, Hans?
The Bitcoin ETF got approved again.
Are you sure?
And for real this time.
For real this time?
For real this time. We've had how many fakeouts? Three?
I don't know. There's nothing quite like Gary Gensler announcing on Twitter that they've all been approved and then finding out that that's not.
I was watching a podcast today. I was doing some side work on the computer, and I was watching a podcast where a guy was doing a live stream actually whenever Bitcoin started going through the roof, whenever the fake approval happened yesterday, right? And it was cracking me up because he's like, oh man, there it is, it got approved. He was so excited, and like the price, you just see it, because I mean, what, we got almost up to $48,000.
No, it was like a straight up line.
Yeah, it was nuts. And then all of a sudden it started to like just dump. He's like, what's going on? What's happening? And people are like, it was fake. And he's like showing him his phone, like on the X account. He's like, look, it wasn't fake. And it finally happened for real today.
Well, the other side of that straight up and down line, it went straight down, so it almost looked more like an earthquake seismograph than a stock chart.
Yeah, the amount of, well, and I told the wife today, I was telling you this before we got kind of going today, I told the wife today, is like those ETFs that we had talked about before, and she's like, yeah. I was like, they got approved. I said, do you know what Bitcoin's price did? She's like, no. Did it go through the roof? I said, no, it went sideways.
Everyone's too worried to make a move.
Oh, right now. So many people got liquidated in that yesterday.
Oh, on both sides of that.
Yeah. It was bad.
Both sides of that. People putting in options for Bitcoin, they just got hammered.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I mean, good news is there's 11. Like, you have your choice. 11 ETFs are going live. And from my understanding, most of them are going live tomorrow. I was actually looking on Morgan Stanley today, just kind of waiting, you know, trying to find out what was going to happen, when it was going to get approved, because today was the deadline for the ARK Shares ETF. And so I was kind of curious. I'm like, what's it going to be? And so right now, actually, in the Discord chat, if you're in there, we do have a listing of the fees that we're looking at. And like, it's been a race to the bottom with the way that these folks have continued to refile.
Yep.
So
that's a good thing. Lots of competition. I mean, 11 different places to get it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the only one that's above 1.5 or 1% is Grayscale.
Yeah.
At 1.5%.
Yeah. I'm kind of curious what their logic was on that. I don't know if that was just, I mean, for them, it's a conversion, right? Because they already had the Grayscale Bitcoin Trust, but now it'll actually be just changed into an ETF. Which, I mean, I don't know, that they are the, you know, far and above, I guess the next closest one is Hashdex Bitcoin ETF.
Yeah.
They're sitting at 0.9%, but
still under that one.
Yeah. And one of the cool things too, I don't know if you saw this or not, it was, I think it's VanEck Bitcoin ETF. Like, what they're going to do there with their HODL Bitcoin ETF, they're going to donate 10% of all the fees that they make are going to go, they're going to give it back to the Bitcoin Core development team.
Yeah.
Which I thought was kind of cool. Yeah. I was like, that's kind of cool. Kind of interesting. And so, and I've got to ask you, so did the price do what you thought it was going to do based off the approval?
It did yesterday.
Yeah. Totally did yesterday.
Yeah, it totally did yesterday when it was a fake out. today, you know, I think everyone's just going to be gun shy. And, you know, I'm kind of the opinion that what's happening right now in the near term future, we're probably going to see a general increase, but it's not going to go gangbusters, maybe. I don't know. It's hard to say. How much real interest is there in Bitcoin? I think when economic conditions get worse and maybe people notice that money printing is kicked in, inflation is rising, that's when the rush is going to be into Bitcoin, and that's when it's going to go thermonuclear.
Yeah, I still go back and forth. Like, I don't know when that supply shock or demand shock, however you're going to look at it, when that's going to kick in. You know, you're dealing with some really large players money-wise. Mm-hmm. And there's still not a lot of Bitcoin out there. I mean, how are they going to... How is it going to be... Like, how is it going to be marketed? We were talking about this a little bit before, you know, we actually began recording. So how is it going to be marketed? Which, I mean, we've seen a couple advertisements come out for it already. And then how is it going to be sold? Like, how are the shares going to be structured? You know what I'm saying? Like, how much of a tenth of a Bitcoin, or what's the percentage of a Bitcoin you're going to buy per share?
Yeah.
Like, I don't
think there's questions. I mean, and you have 11 different options. I mean, it's going to be, those are good questions. I have no idea how to answer them right now.
Yeah, I don't either. I'll know a little bit more tomorrow. And, you know, we had talked last night after the big fiasco with some of the things that were going on, obviously. And I didn't want to record just because I figured today was going to be the day. Like, I figured today was going to happen. But it did happen, and it seems like it was totally, totally against Gary Gensler's best interest, or what he really necessarily wanted.
Yep. It's like, yeah, a hostage, you know, a captive that they're reading a manuscript back to government. You know, that's basically what the tone of it.
Apparently on the, I guess, the SEC board, there were only two that voted against passing the Bitcoin ETF, and they were both Democrats. Shocker, I guess. But one thing that I wanted to bring up, like, Gary Gensler released this huge announcement, you know, in line with the ETF itself. And at the very bottom, like, this kind of summed it up, what he had to say word for word here. While we approve the listing and trading of certain spot Bitcoin ETP shares today, we did not approve or endorse Bitcoin. Investors should remain cautious about the myriad risks associated with Bitcoin and products whose value is tied to crypto. So he's like, go ahead.
Yeah, he could tell he didn't want to do that. This is not his choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The ETF's approved, but it's not accepted. Is that the way to look at it?
It's like, yeah, I don't know how to put it. Basically, he was just too afraid of the courts. The courts have been backhanding him quite a bit this year, and he's a little bit gun shy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he had much of a choice. And then I really think BlackRock was like, look, if you want to work after you're done with your role in the SEC, you're going to approve this thing.
Or else.
Or else.
Or you'll be a janitor.
You'll
the SEC.
You'll make our coffee, boy. Yeah, so he was not a happy camper in regards to that whole thing. But,
and it's kind of funny just thinking about it. A lot of people, when Gensler was approved to the SEC, a lot of people thought, hey, man, we got a crypto-friendly guy coming in, and we couldn't have been more wrong.
Oh, yeah. No, and I think I was one of them, because I had seen his MIT talk on Bitcoin. At that time, he talked about Bitcoin like it was like one of the most amazing things, that it was a wonder.
Mm-hmm.
So I was really kind of excited when he got appointed in. And I don't know, I don't think we've been doing the podcast long enough. I think he's been in the SEC longer, in that position longer than when we've been doing the podcast for. But yeah, he totally was the opposite of what I expected.
Yep. I don't know, it's just fascinating times.
Yeah, totally fascinating times. So we kind of start off with kind of the jab at the SEC about, you know, again, the third time that they've gotten approved. And so the Bitcoin X hack was an embarrassment for cybersecurity conscious SEC. And apparently the FBI is going to have to investigate him.
Oh, yeah. Well, honestly, the SEC should be investigating themselves because they were market manipulators, or they were a tool of market manipulation right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure whatever that last time, the first time that happened, and it was fake news came out, and it triggered the market. Like I want to say the guy lost his job that put out the tweet from that CoinDesk saying that the Bitcoin ETF was approved because of market manipulation. Right? Yeah, because it rocked the price, right?
Uh-huh.
And then it happened, and it happened from the official SEC account. Like, that's, I don't know. I felt like that was fishy from get-go, just the way that they were able to recover it. There was something about how somebody got a hold of an employee's phone, is my understanding. And there was no two-factor authentication turned on, is what they described.
Yeah, that seems kind of backwards. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the report from X, is there was no two-factor verification on there.
Yeah.
And yeah, that just seems pretty, I don't know, government incompetence is not something out of the realm of possibility, in my opinion, but that's pretty dense.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. And I mean, I'm pretty sure and we talked about that last night. I was pretty sure that what happened was somebody just effed up.
They released it too early.
Yeah, I think it was a day too soon that they put it on there. Or maybe, heck, who knows? Maybe somebody was like, you know what? I got some shorts in place. I'm gonna fire this off. And then maybe he had some longs and he had some shorts. And who knows, man? That was a good way. Like, you could feel you could feel the tension in the air with the ETFs. Like, everybody was still waiting today, and they waited till the close of business on the East Coast today to finally approve it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's kind of interesting that the SEC got caught up in that kind of a market manipulation with that kind of a tweet. I don't know, man. But it was history in the making. I mean, Bitcoin is finally going to be running with the big boys.
Real institutional, actually, how should you put it? There's actual exposure to Bitcoin,
yeah,
that every institution has not really been able to have unless they owned, you know, I guess, MicroStrategy, or they owned Coinbase, or, you know, buying those kind of stocks.
Yeah.
Now they can actually purchase Bitcoin themselves.
Yeah. It's such a weird time to think about that. Like, Bitcoin, like, to be in the game, the Bitcoin game, for as long as we have, like, to see the changes, like, the Winklevoss twins, right? Like, they applied for a spot Bitcoin ETF over a decade ago. And it has been denial, denial, denial. Like, Bitcoin has always been on the fringe, and I mean, it's gotten close to, like, especially within the past couple of years, it's gotten close to that acceptance from the mainstream. But this is kind of like that tipping point, it feels like.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I mean, it's always just been on the fringes, and it's just getting closer. Like, you can kind of see it getting closer to the mainstream, but it's never quite been there until now.
Yeah. And now,
and it's just really the first step into the mainstream.
Right. Yeah. I mean, because who knows? Tomorrow it could blow the socks off the markets. But before we get to that, there was one other thing that I wanted to bring up, and that was Jamie Dimon. And that was, he was quoted today as saying that Bitcoin still has no value. The only use case is for sex trafficking, tax avoidance, money laundering, terrorism, and terrorism financing. He said that today.
Not that he wouldn't know anything about the first one, huh?
Right? Or even drug. Like, I guess he didn't bring up drugs because he knows he got caught with that, with that container of cocaine. Yeah, like, the crazy thing about this is that he is listed as, you know, the approved basically partner with BlackRock for their IBIT ETF.
Well, his company is, right?
His company is, yeah. And so I mean, you would assume Larry Fink's, because Larry Fink has been all in on Bitcoin since what, probably been about 6 months now. His tune totally changed.
Yeah. And I just got to find out who the heck orange pilled Larry Fink. Yeah.
You know, it could be Michael Saylor.
Could be.
I mean, because he is like, not him personally, but the company, BlackRock, is a major shareholder in MicroStrategy. Because Michael Saylor, like, if you listen to him, he speaks well about Bitcoin. Like, he understands it. So I'm curious with Jamie Dimon. I'm wondering, at what point are we going to see him do an about face and start licking the boots of Bitcoin? He's been a slimy guy for a long time. He's done the exact opposite. Like, I remember at one point, do you remember this? He was talking about how anybody that was working on his trading desk, if they were caught buying Bitcoin, even for their own personal use, he would fire them.
He'd fire them on the spot.
Yeah. Meanwhile, they were buying Bitcoin. The company was.
Do what I say, not what I do.
Yeah. I don't like the guy at all. But yeah. Anyways.
I preferred Charlie Munger's crap talk.
I did too. I mean, at least Charlie Munger believed his crap talk. You know what I'm saying? Like, Charlie Munger, like, Berkshire Hathaway, maybe they were buying some stocks that were some way loosely associated with Bitcoin, but they were never buying it directly.
And Charlie Munger was just an old, crazy guy who's this close to turning 100 talking crap about Bitcoin. It was just kind of, it's like, aw.
Yeah.
No, and die soon anyway. It doesn't matter.
Oh, you're just precious, dude. And so Berkshire Hathaway, like, okay, now we've kind of gotten through some of the talking points for today. Let's start talking about some money stuff here. Berkshire Hathaway, like, have you ever seen how much one of their shares costs?
Yes, it's obscene because they never really split their stock.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Like, that's like you're walking in and you're putting your manhunt on the table if you're like, yeah, I've got like 10 shares of Berkshire Hathaway. You're like, what?
Dude, we could retire on one.
Yeah. No,
well,
maybe
not quite retire, but you'd
have to be pretty happy. You'd be pretty happy. So the question is, do you think Bitcoin ETF will ever reach those heights?
Well, I'd like to think so, but that remains to be seen.
Yeah, but true. Yeah, I'm curious. The market did the exact opposite of what I thought it was going to do today. But considering, like you said yesterday, the market did exactly what I thought it was going to do yesterday.
And now that it seems like they're psychologically scarred, they can't react right now. Like, yeah. The pain is too fresh. They need like a support animal. They need, you know, a safe space. And suck on their thumb a little bit to get over what happened yesterday. And I don't blame them.
I guarantee some people lost a lot of money yesterday when that liquidation happened, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm going to buy some tomorrow. I'm going to try. So personally, what I'm looking at is I'm either going to buy ARK or I'm going to buy the VanEck. So I'll either be doing the ARKB or the HODL ticker.
HODL.
But yeah, so what do you think? What do you think is going to happen with price? Like, where do you, 50,000, like, how long do you think it'll take for us to cross that mark?
50,000? I think it'll be less than a week.
Yeah.
Now, is it going to go to 100,000 just yet?
No.
No.
No. That's too soon. I mean, because let's be honest, like, if it was really that easy to make it in Bitcoin, like, everybody would have done it. Like, you can't just buy it even at 50,000 and then double your money in no time. Like, there's got to be pain and suffering still. Like, it seems like that's part of, like, earning your stripes within the Bitcoin space, right?
Yeah, those stripes are like whip marks.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, am I wrong? Like, if it becomes like it's nothing but number go up technology and like there is no more downs, like, do you think we're going to continue to see the 4-year cycle? Like, that really is bugging me now.
I don't know. I mean, at a certain point, it has to gain enough mass where it can't move anymore.
But we're so far away from that, man.
We're so far away from that. No. I mean, if Bitcoin got to $1 million a piece, maybe we're getting close to that.
Yeah. No. I completely agree. Like, if we got to where it was over $1 million a coin or close to that $1 million mark, I would start to believe like that volatility would start to kind of ease. Like, you wouldn't see so many swings. But we're not even close to that level yet.
No. No, you know what? Now that you say that, we've got at least another cycle, another halving to go through before it's becomes that solid.
Can you imagine what the hell Bitcoin's going to do to the circuit breakers on the stock exchange when it does its drawdowns?
They're going to be shutting down Bitcoin.
Dude, can you imagine what that's going to do? Good luck with that. Oh my God.
Yeah, the Bitcoin is a beast that they're not going to be used to. That's probably what Gary Gensler is more scared of, is just the fact that, you know, there's going to be some crazy news one day and it's going to crash like, you know, 20% of its value. And they're going to try and pull the circuit breakers on that. And they're like, we can't stop it.
Yeah. Yeah. It won't matter. Yeah. It won't matter if they pull the circuit breaker on their side. It's still going to drop. And then the poor bastards that got stuck on the ETF side. And it just continued, like, they tried to sell out at the, you know, 20%. They continued to draw down to, like, another 60%. They're going to be like, you guys set off the circuit breaker. I couldn't sell.
Exactly. Are you sure you want to buy from the ETF?
Well, I mean, I'd rather have my money in the Bitcoin. But I am going to buy some ETF. Like, I'm just curious. I want to see that roller coaster ride from that point of view. Like, I've seen it from my point of view. I want to see it from the stock market point of view. Just see how these investors can handle that. These traditional investors, that is.
Yep. And that's the one thing I still don't like about this is the fact that you go in cash and then you have to get out in cash.
Yeah.
It's not really Bitcoin until you have the Bitcoin. And if it's not your keys, it's not really your crypto. So.
Yeah. No. And I completely agree. But. I you know, and I talked about this with the wife the other day. There's a lot of people out there that they don't want that responsibility.
True. And this is the safer option, right?
I don't know. It depends on who you ask. But in some ways,
lose it yourself.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You can lose it for you, but, you know, you're not going to lose it yourself.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, in home invasion stuff, like, you don't have to worry. Like, if you were self-custodying and... The beautiful thing about Bitcoin is it's the first thing that you can take to your grave, right? Like, if it's in your head, nobody can take it from you.
That's right.
They could chop off fingers. I mean, it depends on how much you're willing to give up, but you can...
I know, my fingers are pretty valuable to me.
That's true. For you, that is very true. You could transfer all of your net worth at the last moment upon dying, put it into Bitcoin. Memorize that stuff and then be like, as you pass away, just flip everybody off. Like, I'm taking it with me. Oh, one other thing I wanted to bring up, and we didn't talk about this prior, was we did have Bitcoin's birthday since, I don't think we've recorded since the Bitcoin birthday happened. So Bitcoin's birthday took place on the 3rd.
On the 3rd.
Yeah. 15 years old, Bitcoin is. And then did you see somebody sent over $1 million worth of Bitcoin to Satoshi's Genesis wallet?
Yes. I did see that.
What do you think that was all about?
I have no idea.
Like, that's gone. Like, they lost that money.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
They just sacrificed. Maybe it was somebody was like, you know what? I'm going to sacrifice some money to Bitcoin, to Satoshi. Thank you.
I don't know. As soon as Satoshi actually moves his that wallet starts getting active, man, can you imagine how crazy things will get?
Yeah, I don't know if that'll ever happen. Like, the only thing I could ever think of with as to why somebody would do that is if somebody's trying to get Satoshi to come out of hiding some way. Right?
Right.
But I don't think you'll ever see that money move. And I don't think that wallet will ever be touched. I don't think, maybe, I still don't know to this day who Satoshi was or is, whether it was a group of people or an individual. I think Hal Finney was pretty heavily involved, and he's not all around anymore. He's passed. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it's a very interesting story.
Yeah.
An immaculate conception.
Yep. Immaculate conception, God's money. Made flesh. No.
Made digital.
So, yeah, happy birthday, Bitcoin, and thank you for finally getting a driver's license, I guess, because the ETF apparently would be your driver's license. Have 15.
A learner's permit, this is the honest
permit. Is there anything else you wanted to bring up? Oh, newsletter.
Newsletter, yes. We're getting that going. I sent out my first one talking about the ultimate rug pull, I think is what I called it.
Yeah.
And so we're setting up the landing page to make sure you can sign up. But we're going to basically just send out informational things about Bitcoin. We're going to work on a few different freebies that we're going to hide behind I wouldn't say a paywall, but it's, sign up for our newsletter and we'll give you some cool stuff.
Yeah, for sure. And of course, if you are doing some self-custody, you can still get the Elipal or the Ledger through our links on our website, and that's at www.thebitbytepodcast.com. And feel free to sign up for the newsletter there. And also, there was something else I was going to bring up, but I can't remember what it was now. What was it? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It must have vanished. Just like my Bitcoin into the Genesis wallet.
Just like the Bitcoin into the Genesis wallet. So, you know what? I remember what it was that we were talking about. Or what I was going to bring up. So remember back in, what was the date that we made our Bitcoin purchase?
The hypothetical Bitcoin purchase was like end of October, October 27th.
October 27th. Okay. And what are we sitting at now?
Well, we theoretically purchased $3,000 worth of Bitcoin. And with today's opening price of $46,579, we're at $4,122.
Woo. So we made $1,100.
We're at $1,100 in just a few months.
Yeah.
A little over 3 months.
I can't imagine anything else that we would have been able to buy that we could have done that with. Without trading. I mean, all we had to do was hold on to it, right?
Well, we could get out right now, then we'd be 100% scot free. But,
yeah,
we're going to be good Bitcoiners in FODL.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we'll keep tabs on this, that $3,000 that's now $4,000. We'll keep tabs on it and see where it goes. Thank you all for listening, and we will talk to you all soon.
Latest.